Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachi Putram Atraswarupam Rupam Tas Yagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yataf Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamascha. I was recently informed of some incidents which happened, I believe, in Delhi, which received a lot of press coverage. I'm going to speak on that today. Today's class is on the newspaper, a reading from the newspaper. Except I didn't read the newspaper, so I don't know exactly what lies they published there. But anyway, the incident, as we are informed, I've been verbally informed, is that some young woman was drinking alcohol with a group of young men, and she got raped. And the police said, well, what do you expect? If you go out drinking, if a young woman goes out drinking with a bunch of young men, then it's like inviting trouble. And this caused a big stir. How could the police say such a thing? And it became a big issue. And similar, the ongoing cultural discussion of, you see, if women go out alone late at night dressed in a sexually provocative manner, then what do you expect? Some people say. They can't really blame anyone if they get sexually assaulted. But others say, no, that's wrong. You see, they should be allowed to dress as they like and walk freely and be safe. So these issues, they bring into focus the shift in cultural values within India, and many people who are considered by others old-fashioned, they talk about the old culture and morality, whereas others talk more in terms of a modern way of thinking that is a Western way of thinking, you could say, which is that people should just be allowed to do as they like as long as it doesn't harm anyone else, and women, why should they dress in a modest manner? Why should they not have the freedom to move around? They should have all the same rights as men. And there are organizations working to stop crimes against women and promoting that, on the one hand, they should have all freedom to dress in a manner which is practically saying, come and rape me, and on the other hand, they shouldn't be raped. Dressing in a sexually provocative manner. And then there are others who are talking about, you know, our culture and our tradition and morality. So where do we stand? What's the Siddhanta on all of this? What should be the proper understanding? Those who are talking about preserving the culture, and India's ancient traditions, and morality, they're doing so without an understanding, or without promoting an understanding, of what is the basis of that culture. If you just say some vague term, morality, and people don't care for that anymore. The whole society, India has become a consumer society, following the model of the Western countries, in which it is required that everyone be inordinately interested in sense gratification. For the consumer society to work, people have to consume. Everyone consumes, but more than their necessity. Necessities of life are food, clothing, and shelter. But nowadays, it is also considered a necessity to have fans, ACs, at least a two-wheeler, bike, if not a motor car, if not an SUV. It is considered absolutely a necessity to have a cell phone, which is not just a cell phone, it's all kinds of things. TV, there's no need even to mention it practically. A mixie, washing machine, dog. Is that funny? Just everyone has a dog, right? Many clothes. Even though you live in a tiny little apartment, half the space is taken up with the cupboards for the clothes and the many, many pairs of shoes, although you can only wear one at a time. Many different pairs of clothes, and all kinds of gadgets and toys and more stuff. People should go on buying, and that fuels the economy. Because if you don't buy things, then the economy doesn't work, and then you have to work hard to have the money to buy these things. And so the whole society is running on the basis of lust, karma, desire, and greed, which also produces envy. And particularly, it is necessary to make consumers, to have people to be in the mentality of consumers. It is required that people train to be, they become very lusty sexually and sexually loose, so that morality, in the case of sexual activity, which in most traditional societies is certainly within Vedic culture, is sexual activities are only to be conducted within marriage. But that is now definitely in Bangalore breaking down, and it's not breaking down by chance. Those who go to work who are trained for instance, this call center jobs, that it's deliberately inculcated in them that they should drink, smoke, have illicit sexual connections. This is it's a new morality. It's considered proper that you should enjoy yourself, have fun, enjoy life. Morality is not a word in the book, in the vocabulary of such people. So such people who are committed to enjoying work, I saw an advertisement, it used to be in Bangalore, maybe it still is, work hard, party harder, like that. You get released from your prison job about a few hours a week, and in those few hours you should party, which means drink and whatever else they do, and then go back to work. So it is required that people be in this stupid mindset, which they promote as being very advanced, so that they can be very good workers, they'll work hard, earn money, and then spend it. And that keeps the economy rolling on. So this is required in the consumer society. So we cannot expect in the consumer society that there will be traditional moral values, because traditional society, particularly Vedic society or Indian society, it's not some vague sense of morality, but the purpose of life is understood to be God realization. That the human form of life is an opportunity to get free from birth and death. The opportunity to go to the spiritual world. And that is the ultimate goal of life. There is dharma, artha, kama and moksha, the chaturvarga. So this, which Srila Prabhupada translates as religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. So although sense gratification is not denied, it is not considered the ultimate goal of life, and excessive sense gratification is understood to be degrading. These are basic teachings of Bhagavad Gita, which anyone can observe, that if people become very lusty or very greedy, that in itself means that their character has become degraded. And then there is no question of higher thought or endeavoring for the higher values of life. So simply to speak about morality or Indian values, while at the same time there is the whole society is based on simply earning money and then promoting one's prestige and enjoying sense gratification, it's not going to work. You can't maintain the good things or the high moral values of Indian culture while importing a whole other culture, which is based on sense gratification. You can't have a consumer society with moral people. That may sound like an outrageous statement, but the whole concept of consumer society is from the beginning immoral. The idea that we should just exploit the earth, and then this consumer society, although we don't get taught that, but it is based on exploitation of others. We see in India there's progress, development, but you see all these construction projects which are going up all over the country. They're all going up by the exploitation of the poorest class of people who live on the construction site, they're paid a pittance, they work hard all day, they live on the site, they have their babies on the site, and they work, they drink, they reproduce, and that's it. So it's based on exploitation, and it's based on the idea that each individual should become more lusty and more greedy and desire more and more things for himself. So the very basis of the society is degrading to the human spirit. So those who, people will talk on one hand of morality and Indian traditions. On the other hand, they'll be interested to get the latest iPod and a big TV with a huge screen and all this kind of thing. And they'll be anxious to put their children through to school, preschool and pre-preschool, and have their children work hard, get a good job, be a success, and go through, become a consumer. So, Srila Prabhupada, he taught from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam what is the actual goal of life, which is kamasya nendriya pritya labho jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jignyasa neha yascheha karma bihi. That life, one's desires should not be aimed at sense gratification. Everyone has desires. But the desire for sense gratification, that should not be encouraged. The fire that is described in Bhagavad Gita, that duṣpurena nalena cha, that karma, material desire, burns in the heart like a fire. So, the Bhagavatam says, that should not be fanned. The desire for sensual enjoyment, that should not be increased. But one's desires, one's focus, should be on understanding the purpose of life. Jivasya tatva jignasa. What is the meaning of life? What is the ultimate reality? One should not desire anything else. And what is that ultimate reality? In the Bhagavatam, the next verse describes that ultimate reality is Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. The ultimate reality is perceived in three levels, as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So desire is there, but desire for sensual enjoyment should not be encouraged, because that will keep us in material consciousness, which means material existence, which means suffering birth after birth after birth. Material desire is there in the animals. If we do not elevate our consciousness to inquire into the ultimate purpose of life, if we do not understand what that is, and live our lives in such a manner that we can become free from the lower animal nature of desiring sense gratification, accumulation of objects, prestige, which people in the world are very interested in this, and they think it's very high, your prestige. I won a prize for being whatever it may be. They have so many competitions, which just people, for the sake of prestige, they'll practice for months and months shooting a bullet at a target, just so that, with the hope that they will become number one shooting, the Bangalore rifle shooting champion. And in their small world of rifle shooters, they'll be the number one. So for the sake of prestige, they win a Nobel Prize. That's a very high prize, to win a Nobel Prize, or to win the school, I don't know, chess competition or something, just to show yourself better than others. So people think this is successful, wonderful. Your photo's in the newspaper and you become an important person. Stupid. All these people are simply stupid. That they Shvavidvara Hoshtra, the Bhagavatam describes exactly. Shvavidvara Hoshtra Karai Sangstuta Purusha Pashahu. Nayat Pet, what is that? Nayat Karna Pato Petas Gadagraja. I forget one word. Does anyone know that? No. So, Nayat Karna Pato. Yeah. So, the purport of this verse is that people who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they praise other people who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Who are those hogs, dogs, camels, and asses? Those who do not like to hear about Krishna. So people say, oh, someone has become very important. They won a prize. But that is the very petty consciousness of just like one dog in a pack of dogs barks louder than the others. And then the other dogs, they submit. Oh yes, this is the chief dog. Or one pig is fatter than others. And then he's considered, oh, among the pig society. They think, oh, this pig is the best pig. And the best pig, they know, I'm the best pig. They feel that. They feel that. Of course, the fat pig is liable to be slaughtered first. So, actually these are facts. I mean, it may sound funny, but for the pigs it's not funny. And for the people who slaughter the pigs, it's also not funny, because in their next life, they end up under the knife. So it's very cruel facts of this material world. So to talk about morality is good, but morality won't last. It can't stand without the platform of understanding what is the purpose of life, why we are living. Otherwise, morality becomes twisted. So that in the name of, now it's considered rights. Everyone has their rights. So before, there was the idea of, in human society, it was emphasized duty. Everyone has a duty to perform to others. But in the modern immoral or amoral society, the rights are emphasized more. So, you know, young women, they have the right to walk around at 11 o'clock at night alone, dressed in a way that is sexually provocative. And why should, you know, why should they be raped? What's wrong with the men? You see, is there... But it's understood that in a society which promotes lust, in the newspapers, in the cinema, in the TV, that people are going to be lusty. Anyway, people are lusty. So, women should be protected. This is considered very absolutely immoral by those who have a different kind of morality to that based on understanding the purpose of life. Because their idea is that everyone should, the purpose of life is to enjoy the senses. They didn't work it out exactly as a philosophy. Because what do they care for philosophy? They're busy enjoying life. But the idea is that everyone should have as much opportunity as possible to enjoy themselves. So if the women want to go around at night and drink alcohol and this and that, they should enjoy themselves. But no one should come, and men who are full of the desire to enjoy themselves and find an opportunity to find some young woman walking around and take advantage of that. So, in Vedic culture, women are to be protected, which means that they're not even allowed. They are not allowed to go out alone, especially at night. And in terms of modern morality, that's considered horrible, wrong. Why can't they go out and enjoy themselves? Because the goal of life is not to, first of all, the idea that to enjoy yourself, that's a wrong idea of the purpose of life. Although some enjoyment is allowed, it's not saying that everyone should stop enjoying, but within boundaries. Of course, the modern liberal society, we also puts boundaries, but much the goalposts have been moved. So the very, very big opportunity to enjoy the senses. For instance, within Vedic culture, sexual activity is allowed within marriage. There are still restrictions in modern liberal culture. For instance, you're not supposed to rape. But you can, but marriage is not required. And there are some boundaries. For instance, you're not supposed to have sexual activities with young children. So some restrictions are there, but there's much more scope for personal sensual enjoyment, with the idea that the goal of life is sensual enjoyment. But Vedic culture has the understanding that the goal of life is God realization. And for God realization, sensual enjoyment works just the opposite way, to cover the consciousness with lusty desires. Jnanam avritya dehinam. Lust, karma, it covers the pure consciousness. And therefore, it should not be encouraged. It is allowed under license, just like some things are allowed under license. People are allowed to drive cars under license when it's seen that they are competent to do so. Not that anyone is just allowed to drive a car. So sense gratification is allowed within certain parameters. It's controlled so that it does not become harmful to human society. Now, people who do not accept that God consciousness is the goal of life, who think that sense gratification is the goal of life, they will say, yes, we also agree. That's true. People should be allowed to enjoy as long as it does not harm others. But because they do not know what the goal of life is, they don't know what is harmful and what is beneficial. They think that, well, if you can have sexual activity with others, consensual, that both parties agree, then what is the harm? There's no need of marriage because it's just for enjoyment. But in Vedic culture, it's understood that simply to be consensual is insufficient, because human life is meant for God realization. Sexual activity increases lusty desires. The goal of life becomes lost unless sexual activity is channeled toward producing good progeny. The natural result of sexual activity, heterosexual, is children. But that can be stopped. Nirodha, literally, the condom, I think it was produced by the Indian government. Maybe it's not so popular nowadays, but it literally means to stop, to obstruct. But that is also sinful. That is to obstruct the entrance of a jiva into the womb by the natural cause. That is also sinful. Abortion is also sinful. But because people think that the goal of life is simply sense enjoyment, then they don't They may talk about morality, but they have no sense of sin. That there are laws of the universe, which if you break them, that is called sin, and one has to suffer karmic reactions for that. But people do not believe this, because they're trained from the beginning to think that, just like everyone here is very anxious to send their children to school, and that their children should be successful in education. And they learn in school that we have descended from monkeys, which means there's no soul, life is simply a product of matter. And the whole of society is based on this understanding that life is a product of matter. When the body dies, then everything is finished. So just enjoy as much as you can while you can. It's atheism. So the idea that we'll have the whole modern society and modern education, and at the same time have the good morality and traditional culture, and we'll keep the good things of the traditional culture, it's not going to work, because the whole understanding is completely different. And because the modern sense gratification oriented society, it promotes sense gratification, which it is a very powerful force, but which we cannot control. In fact, in one sense, the whole endeavor of self-realization, it rests on the platform, the basis of self-realization is controlling the senses, which means controlling sensual desire. Because if that is released, it's a very powerful force, but it's out of our control and it carries us down. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. The first is karma. If karma is not controlled, then there must be anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy, hatred. All these peace conferences, they're all completely bogus. They go to the peace conference and they're eating meat. And they're causing violence to others and they're talking of peace. There's Dalai Lama, number one bogus person in the world. And a world full of bogus people, he is number one. Because he goes all over the world talking about peace and eats lots of meat every day. There's another bogus person. And it's going out on the internet. Let them hear it. This the pride of Bangalore, Shri Shri, long beard and giggle like a woman. Going to Pakistan to talk of peace. What peace? They're killing animals in the consciousness, I am Pakistani, I am Indian, animal consciousness. One dog is barking at another dog. They're promoting animal consciousness. And how are they going to get peace? Just gimmicks. Just self-promoting gimmicks, going and talking of peace. If we want peace, you have to close the slaughterhouses. Stop the whole aim of human society. Let us exploit the earth, enjoy more and more, develop the economy. There can be no individual peace or domestic peace, national peace, international peace, as long as sense gratification is promoted. Because the mind cannot be peaceful as long as we're thinking, how can I enjoy? Because karma, lusty desire, immediately makes us unpeaceful. So where is the question of peace? Where is the question of higher consciousness as long as this low consciousness, the animal consciousness is being promoted? People think it's very modern and advanced to have sex here, right, left and center, someone else's wife, and this, that, and the other, divorced 3 times, anyway, she's... So, but they don't see this is the same thing as the animals are doing. What is advanced? The dog is more advanced than you. He doesn't have to work hard to get some money to seduce a woman, just there's a kuti is in the street and the kuta goes, and whoever, whichever one can bark the loudest gets the first chance. It's dog consciousness. And they're talking of peace and morality. So the whole basis of society is animalistic. Then what good can we expect from this society in any way? Everything is wrong from beginning to end with a society that promotes lust. And to simply say, oh, morality and traditional culture, who will care? Who will listen? We have to understand what is the purpose of life. Just see what is the reality. Srila Prabhupada went all over the world preaching Krishna consciousness, teaching Krishna consciousness. He didn't talk very much about Krishna's pastimes. You may say, well, if Krishna consciousness means to think of Krishna's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada taught, tirelessly taught what people needed to hear. Just see, Prabhupada would point out again and again and again. This material world is a place of suffering. Who can deny it? This material world is full of birth, death, old age and disease. Who can deny it? Become aware of this. And then direct your life, lead your life. First of all, see these facts. You're thinking, well, we're enjoying, developing, having fun, but just see. We have to suffer. Birth, death, old age, and disease. The result of sense gratification is that we have to suffer. Karmic reactions. We have to be born again. We have to die again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. See this, just see the. Then consider what is the purpose of life. That knowledge is given in the Vedic literature. What is the purpose of life? On the basis of this, we should lead our lives. So the whole modern civilization, which is promoted as being advanced, it's actually works against the interest of every member of that society, and at the same time everyone is thinking that, oh, this is very good, I'm having a good time. But at the same, although no one is happy in Bangalore, people's faces, they look just like in the West, miserable. Everyone looks miserable. You can see. One last time I came here, we came about 8 o'clock in the morning, driving in from Hosur side. And just, I saw there was a whole bus full of people. Look on the face, just the same as in the West, just completely drained of any luster, no joy, just going to work. Another day of drudgery. So everyone spends their whole life just drained of any joy, and then they think, oh, and at the weekend I can enjoy. What a all that very sorry situation. People are working hard, they don't like the work they're doing, and then they think enjoyment is to drink some alcohol and have some illicit sex and go to some party and shout and scream at others over the sound which is too loud. And such suffering. People are living but they're in such a suffering condition. But the rajoguna, the pitch of sense gratification is so high, and the pace of life is so intense and so hard that people, they don't have time to think, and because their consciousness always running, how to survive, work harder, get more, buy more, look at this, look at that, this advertisement, another advertisement, what are you going to do? And then just their thoughts are tumbling one over another. So they don't have time to even sit and think and even realize that I'm miserable. This is not happiness. Where is actual happiness? And then you have again this Sri Sri nonsense rascal. They call people and have some meditation so you can get some peace. Then you can get more energy to go back in the society and get a personality development and enjoy more. Just rascaldom. How you can fit in, how you can adjust to the modern society better. Simply, of course, the whole society is cheating, but these people who pose as gurus to teach them how they can have personality development so that they can get ahead in the rat race, they're more cheaters because they put a veneer of spirituality over it. So people think they're becoming spiritual when they're just becoming materialistic in just another way, that's all. The so-called spirituality is just some way to help them to become more materialistic. So, actually the leaders of the world, they should listen to all this. They should hear. But for them to hear, we're going to have to speak very loudly, because everyone else is speaking very loudly. There's so much materialistic propaganda. We're going to have to speak very loudly and tell them, you're all fools and rascals, you're wasting your life chasing sense gratification, which doesn't bring any real happiness now, and simply binds you in this world of birth and death more and more. Nunang pramatak kuru tevi karma yadindriya pritiya apino tina sadhu manyaya yata atmano yamasanapi kleshata asadeha. People are crazy, as Rishabdev said thousands of years ago. People are crazy because they spend their lives performing sinful activities which force them to get born again and again, to suffer again and again. It's crazy. We have to say this loudly, otherwise who will hear? Everyone else is speaking loudly. Drink this, buy that, work harder, get more money, study, get a good job. Materialistic propaganda is going on very strongly. So devotees, if at all they're going to be heard, they have to speak strongly and clearly, not more. Spirituality, as they call it, is mostly reduced to some stupid slogans like love all, serve all, you know, just empty peace, love, just without any clear knowledge. So devotees should speak clearly and loudly and tell people, that especially the leaders of society, of course they're the biggest rascals, that's the biggest problem, but tell them this: you're wasting your life, you're spoiling your life, the whole goal of life is misdirected. You can't have morality in a society which the very basis of it is immoral. The basis of society is spoiling our lives which are meant for God realization. And everyone is dedicated to doing that. That is the worst immorality, that we are spoiling this God-given gift of human life just to live like animals. So this should be spoken very loudly. But as Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter to one of his disciples, the devotees cannot preach this if they themselves are living like hogs and dogs. If our so-called devotees are themselves a little bit of Hare Krishna here and there and a little bit of sense gratification there, watch the TV, go to the movie, eat in restaurants, well, vegetarian restaurants, of course, we wouldn't go to a non-veg restaurant. If the devotees themselves are interested in sense gratification, success, get a good career, if our devotees themselves are idiots, then how are they going, with a little Krishna consciousness added, then how are they going to help others? Maybe make others into half Krishna conscious idiots also. Anyone who's interested in wasting their life with sense gratification is an idiot. And it's not me who says this, it's Rishabdev in Bhagavatam. And it's a fact. So if devotees are actually going to get the spiritual strength to benefit others in the world, if we actually care about others, if seeing them suffering in material life, then we ourselves, first of all, have to become very staunch devotees of Krishna. And we can't be half in Maya and half Krishna conscious. It doesn't work. That is another kind of cheating. So those who claim to be followers of Srila Prabhupada, they should read his books very carefully and thoroughly and live according to them. Then we can be convinced of the reality that nothing in this world is of any value. Without Krishna consciousness, without 100% Krishna consciousness, everything is useless, worse than useless. So with this conviction, not blind faith, but conviction based on serious study of Srila Prabhupada's books, then we can have the conviction to live fully in Krishna consciousness and convey that to others. Otherwise, we're still cheating ourselves. It's not enough to just add a little Krishna to our sense gratification. Of course, we say that in the beginning, just add Krishna. But ultimately, we have to come to the platform. Sarvadhaman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam raja. That is required. So, there are some thoughts for this evening. If anyone has any questions about this, please ask. Not just for this evening, I'm speaking them this evening, but these are principles on which we have to live our lives if we're not going to be victimized by this hellish so-called civilization. Is there another mic? Is there for questions? Yeah, it is. It has appeared, yeah. There's a mic, but it needs to be turned on. Is the microphone amplifying? Is
it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So Maharaj, now the children are going to the school.
The children are going to the school.
Yeah, so
just for your information, the plural of children is children, not children's, as in Indian English. We have here an editor, university editor. If you'd like, you can learn English from him. Children, the children are going to school.
Going to school.
If you say to the school, that's also which school? Okay.
The education system, what they're learning in the school is not what Srila Prabhupada is taught.
It definitely isn't.
So how do we see that they follow this? Because we're not able to introduce the KC into the school.
KC. Why don't you say Krishna consciousness? Yeah. It's nice to say the name of Krishna, isn't it? Well, as stated in the CC, you don't like the name of Lord Chaitanya? You don't like to... So, anyway. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was against this modern educational system. He said he didn't want the children of our devotees to be sent to the slaughterhouses of modern education. Slaughterhouse means they just as in the slaughterhouse, the animals are mercilessly butchered. So the children in the schools, their natural spiritual inclinations are mercilessly butchered. So Srila Prabhupada didn't want to say that there should be alternative education. Don't send them to the school. If you are a responsible parent, In modern idea is that if you're a responsible parent, you send your children to the school. Now I said it. To their school. Now, but Srila Prabhupada, he gave us the understanding, if you're a responsible parent, you don't let your children anywhere near that school. Make our own schools. Teach them. Homeschool or make gurukuls. Gurukul means what is taught in Prabhupada's books. That is the curriculum, not a few minutes a day with all this bogus education as the main curriculum. That's not a gurukul. Of course, that's what's called a gurukul sometimes, but that certainly wasn't Srila Prabhupada's idea of gurukul. Please read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. You can also listen to his lectures. We don't have the lectures here. Now this is available widely in India, so wherever I go, I'm promoting this. You should all, those of you who are supposed to be committed followers of Prabhupada, you should all have all of Prabhupada's books and no TV. Now this is available, all the lectures of Prabhupada recorded. So that's available here in 3 DVDs. You should listen to this and know what Prabhupada says. Don't sing Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. You never read his books. You don't know what he says. You don't follow what he says. So you should, you can listen to all of this. Prabhupada's aim wasn't to make some people who are just vegetarians and chanting Hare Krishna. Change of consciousness. If we are to get out of this material world and go to Krishna, we cannot remain in the same kind of consciousness as everyone else. It's a revolutionary movement because we have to think in a different way. The way in which we think carries us to our next birth and another birth and another birth and another birth. So we have to understand what it means to be a servant of Krishna. It's not easy. Everyone will be against us, but that's required. Yeah, please. You can pass over the mic. Yeah. All right. How to be not affected by it if you're in the consumer society? Well, if you're in the water, how are you not going to get wet? Difficult. Srila Prabhupada's vision was that devotees who are preachers, they should remain in the cities, and grihasthas, they should go to the communities of devotees away from this nasty society. You don't have to remain in this society. Of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't stipulate that everyone should go away. It's also possible to be Krishna conscious in the city life. But we should understand it's very difficult if we're associating with, working for, under the value system of people who are totally materialistic. Obviously, it's going to be very difficult to be Krishna conscious. It is not impossible. One has to have very strong sadhana, one very strong association, very clear that we're karmasya nendriya priti, when our desires should not be for sense gratification. It is possible, but we can expect it's an unfavorable situation for being Krishna conscious. What's happening in these developing countries like India, of course Bangalore is already developed, but still much of the country is developing. They're coming up because people are working so hard, long hours, the Western countries, people don't work so hard. So in India they do, and therefore it's coming up and catching up. That's one reason. But what happens is then you don't... For spiritual life, there are some factors. One I just spoke about is good association, proper atmosphere, which is not there in the consumer society. We can come together with devotees from time to time, usually once a week, because devotees are so busy. Most of the time we have to live with and work among people who are not at all good association. Another important factor is sadhana, good sadhana. But good sadhana means several hours concentratedly every day. And people in modern society, with the hard work that people have to do, people don't get time for it. Many of our devotees who would like to practice Krishna consciousness more seriously, for them daily to chant 16 rounds is about all they can, that's about all the sadhana that they can do. And that often also, while rushing off to work, or maybe in their lunch break, or if they get one. So if we don't have an opportunity for good atmosphere and good sadhana, then it's going to be very, you know, what can I say? There's no shortcut. There are certain things which we require if we're going to become Krishna conscious. So what to do? You can be in the consumer society but not be a consumer. You don't have to buy all the things that materialistic people buy. You can use your money instead for promoting Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada said, 50% of one's income should be used for Krishna consciousness. Well, 50%, then it's like 50% goes for my house rent. So, you know, what's left? But actually, Krishna says 100%. Krishna says, fully surrender to me. Mame kam sharanam raja. So Prabhupada was giving a concession by saying 50%. So, if you can't manage that, but don't... That's what you can... One way you can do is, if you find yourself constrained to remain in this hellish society, which people call advanced and progressive, you can deliberately spend minimum and use all the rest for Krishna consciousness. But if you can also, grihasthas can work toward that, making rural communities. Where, actually, if you read Prabhupada's books, what will happen is you'll become disgusted with this whole endeavor for career progress, and associating with materialistic people. You'll also find it disgusting. That's what happens if you read Prabhupada's books. Be careful. If we are actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, then we won't want to partake in with the values of this society. We'll see they're just petty and disgusting, and then we'll want to live among devotees and be Krishna conscious. So that was Srila Prabhupada's recommendation for most grihasthas. He also said that you can live in the city and chant Hare Krishna, but we should, if we have a very strong motivation to preach Krishna consciousness within that situation, we can do so and remain Krishna conscious. If we don't have a very strong motivation to be Krishna conscious and very strong sadhana, then we're going to succumb and become half-baked devotees who go to the movies and watch cricket on TV and go to kami restaurants. All it's sense gratification. No motive for, nothing to do with pleasing Krishna. So we can live in the cities, but unless we're very, very strong and determined, we are going to be victimized. Yeah, looks like you're waiting to... Oh, there was another... Should I take another question? Yeah. Yeah, please pass over the mic. And what happens then, I'll take this a little further, then we get into this kind of cheating process where we think that, well, I'm not following very strictly, but my guru is very merciful and he'll give me a blessing. So I have so many people coming, give me blessing, blessing, blessing. I always tell them, I can give a blessing. You have to do your work. It's not just by blessing that, you know, you have sense gratification and Krishna prem all side by side. You have to do your work.
While we preach to, over there, the resistance for taking...
You preach over there means you go to their people?
No, when we meet those people and we try to preach the
philosophy... I wouldn't bother too much to preach to them. Anyone who is attracted to him must be nonsense from the outset. Anyone who is attracted to that... I mean, you can try, but if they're into it, I wouldn't bother too much. Just like we don't bother too much with committed Christians. They're already attracted to that. Means they have some very sinful motive in the first place. They're not good candidates. Give them Prabhupada's books, if you can. But we generally find people who are likely to say to Krishna consciousness, if they're already committed to what they think is some spiritual path, they don't listen to what we say. So don't worry too much about them. Give them Prabhupada's books. And if they're sincere, and then they themselves should see that this person, this whole thing's bogus. And if they have Prabhupada's books, then they'll be waiting for them to read it. Yeah. Then, finish? I'm finished now. There's another question. Yeah, okay. Please speak loudly, because to pass the mic over there would take a long time, and I don't even know if it even reaches.
Maharaj, quite often when we tell about this kind of topics like today, we speak more like towards women. And often some women come and they will comment that, you know, you're always speaking about women only. So what about man? So this is what one of the women devotees was.
Why do we always speak about the women, not about the men? Well, that's what Arjuna did in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, because, it's a principle. Why do we speak about the role of women and not about the role of men? Because the role of women especially is it's wrong or out in modern society. Women's role is to... Anyway, I spoke about this in detail in this Women Masters or Mothers seminar, so you can check on that. That particularly if, as Arjuna says in the prelude to Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, that strishu dushtashu varshnaya jayate varna sankara, that if women are misbehaved, then the whole society becomes polluted by Srila Prabhupada translates Varna Sankara as unwanted population. And I brought it up as an introduction to what is an issue it's in the ether at the present time. It's being discussed. And actually in Vedic culture, self-realization being the goal of that, and then men do take the overt leadership. It's a fact. They say it's unfair, it's a patriarch, or it's biased toward men. Anyway, I discussed all this in that Women's Masters. You can listen to that. I think you were there when I was giving that, wasn't it? No, you weren't there? Yeah. So you can say that. Because people do not know what is the actual goal of life, then their understanding in all respects becomes warped. You know what warped means? It means twisted out of shape. And it seems, it seems that, you know, why don't women have the same rights as men? It seems natural if you don't know what the goal of life is. Srila Prabhupada said something very interesting, that a 16-year-old boy can go all over the world by himself. A 16-year-old girl cannot. That's just the reality of the world. So women require to be protected. Protected means restricted. Yeah, so we'll finish that.